Mark Edwards. Talk a little bit about the Be Wild and Rewild project and also this vision of protecting or creating corridors.
Yeah, we're real excited about corridors because it's becoming quite clear that we're going to have to look at how to make sure that these other life forms can continue to be here with us. We've been following the Wildlands Network. It's an international organization to develop corridors. When the Wildlands Network began a number of years ago, they drew maps and they did the biological studies and they had conservation biologists coming up with how do we ensure that this flow of life will move across the landscape. And so they decided to focus on what was left on the North American landscape. So they looked at the Rocky Mountains. And then on the East Coast, where things are healing up through those Appalachian Mountains, those were the corridors that were left. And so they established corridors there, but it left the whole Midwest out of the mapping. And they left it out really because they said, well, not much is left there. It's all farm ground. There's nothing to really save here. There's no mountain ranges. There's it's all pretty well altered. That's why we say we're at ground zero. Iowa is known now as the most biologically altered landscape. And I'm going to go, well, then that's where I would start. And we're at the very place we need to establish our corridors. And we need to look at those very quickly and get those in place for this change that's taking place across the landscape.
That's the mission of the Be Wild, Rewild project here in Iowa?
Yes. We started in 2005. We had two cougars in downtown Des Moines that get into that city and they can't get through it, so they get killed there. And so we said, well, what's the bypass for not only cougars, but everything to get around that city of Des Moines? And as that concept grew and grew and grew, we realized, well, now we've got to look at not only that, but we've got to look at that whole Des Moines River watershed. Then we realized, well, that's just part of the Missouri-Mississippi watershed. And then we realized now we've covered 31 states here.
Why should somebody who does not live in Iowa care about this project?
Because we live in the most altered. We should be leading that conversation. Everywhere else is still thinking they can keep developing. Well, we've about developed 98%, 99%. Iowa is the ground zero. Couldn't be any place wilder than Iowa. We're the ones that should be talking about wildness. We're going to have to make those changes. We have the data. We have all the information we need. We know the science. This is the way forward. And then we want to talk about the bigger vision of how do we look at these 31 states collectively and realize that the watershed, that flow of life, is what we need to be talking about. The artificial lines that we as humans draw on the map are one way of looking at the world, but the other way of looking at the world is the flow of water across the landscape. We're hearing a lot in the news now about the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico and the effect of agriculture and things that we're doing on the landscape in Iowa. We know it's the life moving through the landscape. That's what we forget. This river that we're looking at is the interstate highway system for people and for all the other species. So I look at that Des Moines River as really one of the main arteries that we can relate to.
Is the Des Moines River part of the Mississippi watershed?
Yeah. Des Moines River alone drains two-thirds of Iowa, and it starts up in the northwest corner, comes down and comes out down into that Mississippi watershed.
What exactly is the Mississippi watershed? How does it look?
That's a good one. We've been trying to find maps to illustrate that, and we discovered that really that Mississippi watershed covers 31 states. Between the two mountain ranges, Rocky Mountains and the East Coast Mountains, to the east over to Ohio, and it goes over to the northwest up into Montana. Off that eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains, crosses northern Midwest states and drains down the Ohio River and comes down into there, and then they all keep coming together as they come down into New Orleans and where it dumps into the Gulf of Mexico. And so as we watch that water coming down through the ledges and then it hits that Des Moines River, kind of gets back to that shallow sea, the Midwest, that's symbolic of that glacier 12,000 years ago coming down right about to the ledges. And we talked about the mile-high sheet of ice and the drainage, and that formed the sandbars, and that's the sandstone. And as that retracted and dried and the temperatures changed, you know, that's what led to the prairie ecosystems of the Midwest that we're pretty used to. The Iowa, the prairie, this large extent of millions of acres, was really a shallow sea. And that's why we have the fertile soil again. And then that drains out and comes into the Des Moines River.
So the ledges are part of a watershed area that covers almost half of the United States.
Oh, yes, 31 states. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite
a
network.
So it's part of a much bigger movement of water.
Yeah, we fail to realize really how tied together everything is by those watersheds.
Now, when we were in the Ledges, you talked about the corridor of the Des Moines River. What is a corridor?
Well, that's a different way of looking at the landscape than just human use. And we look at the Des Moines River in particular more from a human side, usually at flood control and farming those bottomlands and stuff. But imagine any beings that want to move across that landscape, they're not going to move through a field of corn. They're either going to move through the air or they're going to follow those watercourses where there's some timber, there's some habitat left. Bird migrations, duck flyways, fish. It's the main artery of that flow of life. And that's why we're seeing the cougars at different times show up on this watershed. And there's a lot of discussion now as things begin to warm up with the climate change. Things are going to have to move north. And as they try to adjust, the only place they can adjust really is to follow those corridors. So those corridors have become very, very important.
So the corridor is a place for movement. Are we talking about mostly animals, or does this apply to other aspects of nature?
Plants. In Iowa, pretty much what's all that's left that isn't disturbed annually, you know, plowed up and replanted with one monoculture, is along these river corridors. So anything is going to move through there. You know, how do things really work on a larger landscape? What are the decisions that we make, and how do we take responsibility for our effects on these landscapes?
If somebody's interested in the work that the Be Wild, Rewild project is doing here in Iowa, tell us where they can find out about it.
We have a Facebook page, Rewild Iowa and Beyond. And the website, bewildrewild.org, it's a tremendous resource in terms of quite a few different ways to look at the history of this development, how it's come about, where we're focusing, the science is there, the stories are there. We're trying to really tie it in together, the art, all different kinds of ways.
And this is the project that's also producing this audio show.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We've been experimenting with different ways to raise this conversation, depending on whether you look at it through a human lens or you look at it through the lens of inclusion of all life. And so, you know, it takes you down different roads. And so we started with just what does wildness mean? Because it's a real nebulous word, and you know, we're trying to stay with that open-ended question. It's really a visionary looking forward. It's one of the most positive things of my whole life because that's the future.